I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Sylvester, I am so excited to get to spend the morning with you and talk all things happiness. We are also going to dive into your experience is so extensive, so incredible. You have, you know, been involved in Academy Award-winning television series and all sorts of things. Could you share a little bit about who you are, how you got where you are, and what your mission and life purpose is now?
Okay, well, I definitely can say who I am. But it's a long journey, like any lifetime is a long journey. I have had a wonderful life, not without its ups and downs, because there's no life that doesn't have an up or no life that doesn't have some downs. But I started out in the city of Chicago and went to Chicago Public Schools, which eventually I ended up teaching. Substitute teacher. I have been an airline worker. Matter of fact, I worked for an airline, and I was amongst the first African-American crew chiefs, which, if you don't know what that is, they're in charge of loading aircraft at O'Hare Field, the world's busiest airport, and that was back in the 1960s. So that was a very interesting era that I worked in the 60s. I've traveled quite extensively throughout the world. I ran a business for approximately 20 years. I've been a background actor, a movie extra recently, and still am at this point in time. I've written 3 books in the series The Road for Money. And the fourth book will be in the series, fourth and final book of that series, we will be out this spring. And it's being pitched to Hollywood producers at the present time. So hopefully you'll get to see it come to either the TV screen or the big motion picture screen. I have had many different lifetimes, many different jack of all trades, and I hope I master a few of them.
Well, gosh, you know, I love that. And I've had a similar life journey, right? If you had told me 10 years ago that I would have done all the things I've done and dabbled in all the things I've dabbled in, I probably wouldn't have believed you, but I really wanted to experience life for all that it offers. And I think that this is something where, you know, a lot of people get stuck and caught in this idea that we have to be or do one thing. And I love that you're saying and demonstrating that, you know, no, we can experience all of these things in life. We don't have to set our sights on one thing and then, you know, let ourselves experience the failure if we don't achieve it as we want or whatever. Multiple eggs in the nest is not a bad thing. Could you share with me a little bit about your book, The Road From Money? Most of the books, right, are The Road to Money.
Yeah,
well, as in money is some sort of catalyst for happiness. And certainly I'm of the belief that I'd like to make enough money to where I can live comfortably without fear of making mortgages and things like that. But what is your perspective on this book that you've written?
Well, number one, I don't think money makes you happy, but there's a lot of other elements that go into a lifetime other than the financial end of it. My book starts out, and make a long story short, it's written about my aunt. It's 75% truth, and I had to put some fiction in there to make it all come together, but 75% truth. She started in the cotton fields of Mississippi, Money, Mississippi, on the Tallahatchie River. That's where my series starts, the book starts out. And to make a long story short, she went from that to a millionaire here in Chicago. She actually ended up selling some properties to the University of Chicago before she passed away.
Wow.
I thought that was an interesting journey. I thought it was a story that should be told. It was a story of perseverance. It had a little of everything in it. It has music. It has, what happened back to history. But then it also came up, it ends up in the modern times with Obama being elected as president. So I take you from the year 1925 in the series to 2009 in the series. So I thought there was a extensive history. And I'm a historian, by the way. Oh, that's another one of my monikers. I have degrees in history and geography. So that I applied that to the book.
Some of the things that we share in common, you grew up in Chicago. I absolutely love Chicago, love the food. You worked for a major airline. I am a pilot. So many things that we could talk about. But the Deep South, I've been there quite a few times, spent quite a bit of time there. And, you know, my experience of it is that it's so dynamic in culture. And one of the things that you've been kind of on the public speaking trail blazing about is racial, diversity, et cetera. What are your thoughts on where the world is right now in this way?
Well, as I alluded to briefly a moment ago, I am a historian. So my thoughts, if you're saying world, that's a big, that encompasses the whole globe, right? History always repeats. History always repeats. Human beings have a propensity to see things one time and learn something that's not really good. They go into war and they learn something from that war for about a period of 20, maybe 30 years. And then they're right back to the same mistakes. Where we are right now in history, I feel like we're in the era of Nazi Germany and the year is 1933 when Hitler was coming to power or just before the Civil War. When the country was divided north and south, you see the same things working through. If you're a historian, you see it from a different perspective than I think the average human being does. Only historians understand history thoroughly, I think. We don't teach enough history in our schools, so therefore most people are not educated to go deeply into history and to find out what true history is versus the what we call revisionist history.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody recently told me history was written by the victor. And it's like, wow, when you have that understanding, you start to see things you can't unsee. It makes sense. And I completely concur with you. In general, I think we're teaching all the wrong things in the schools, right? I mean, kids don't come out of school knowing how to sew or how to cook or how to survive at all, and the backstory of how we got where we are emotionally, psychologically, all of that. And they don't have any coping skills for how to deal with, adversity and diversity. And I think that the way that we are doing curriculum in our public school systems and even in our private school systems is absolutely backwards to what would be beneficial for us as a nation, learning how to, have an appreciation for varying opinions and thoughts. And also understanding that sometimes the story we get is only one side.
Yeah, true enough. History again is because America is a dynamic, wonderful, beautiful country. I've had the fortune to go to 40 of the 50 states I've visited that much. And every monument that America has, I probably saw it from the Alamo to Mount Rushmore to the Golden Gate Bridge to the Statue of Liberty. Those are some of the, if it's really a historical, Washington, D.C. to Washington Monument, I can go on and on. But the bottom line is that most of us don't get to see the country. Most of us don't get to see the world because for financial reasons or other reasons, we just don't get a chance to travel. The thing that I think most enhances my experience in life is being able to travel, to be able to see other cultures, to have the historical knowledge, being a historian and a geographer. I have the knowledge of the place that I'm going to generally in my head before I go. That it makes it a little more vivid to me than I think the average person would. When I see the Alamo, I know not only the story of the Alamo that's told, but I know about Santa Ana, I know about the Pancho Villa, and I know about a lot of the characters that came out of the Mexican Sam Houston that came out of the Mexican War. And I don't see it from only the American perspective. I see it from the Latin perspective, you know, because California at one point was totally Latin. California was settled by the Mexicans, the descendants of Mexicans. And, when you look at it, we get this thing about, you know, the hero, David Crockett, Sam Bowie, that we write the story. I'm also an author, so therefore I understand writing. And I understand the characters that I put in, and then like cooking a pot of soup, you put a little onion in and you put a little, whatever it is you're cooking, and you put a little salt and a little pepper and whatever basic food you're going to put in to cook a stew, that is what you put in. And so that stew comes out with a certain flavor. American history has been not taught, and it's been deprived. When you deprive one group of history, you deprive all groups of history. For example, I've all had the pleasure of going to African-American schools predominantly and living in an African-American community. My folks lived in Chinatown. We moved there for a while, right at 22nd in Chicago here, and that was a Chinatown. And I had some very close friends that were Asian. And then when I was about 14 years old, we moved to Michigan. My mother bought 40 acres of land, and my stepfather built a house week to week with his bare hands, and we lived in that house. And so that was an area that was predominantly, my high school class had only about 5% Black. So I've had the experience of living not only in a predominantly African-American situation, I've lived in a mixed situation, and I've lived in a situation where predominantly a white situation. So most people don't get that experience. Then on top of that, I've been able to travel, like I said, and see the world. And I was just in Cuba just before the pandemic. So, you know, and I won numerous other places I've been, Venezuela, you know, Denmark, Norway. Yeah, I can sit here and name quite a few places that I've traveled to. And so therefore, I've seen quite a bit of the world. And my thing is, just do it. That's what Nike says, just do it. I mean, what holds most people back is the fear of failure. Failure is a part of life. Failure teaches you lessons to go forward with. When you fail, you try again, and maybe you try the same thing or you try something different, but you try to figure out what the mistakes you made. Why did you fail? How did you fail? What can you do not to fail next time? So all that comes out of failure. So I don't have a fear of failure like that. And I think most people get held up by the fear of failure, the fear of not having an income, the fear of, life is, you're going to fail. I don't care what you try. And even the most successful people have failed at something at some point in their life. So that's one of the things that motivate me, not to dwell on where I fail, but try to put the next step. Okay, I failed. So that didn't work. And why didn't it work? So you analyze your failures.
You know, that's really a growth oriented mindset. I mean, a lot of times I think people get fixed and stuck because they're not afraid. They're not willing to face their own downfalls. They're not willing to face their own choices. And, it's really hard when we get to a point. I mean, I work with, people that are coming into their, we can call it the third quarter of life. And they're realizing that these narratives that they have been pushed, which was, basically work your butt off until you die for this 401k that you may or may not get to use, has just been incredibly deceptive, and that they've missed out on opportunity to experience the world and travel and taste other foods and say hello to people in other cultures. And I think that what we've seen post-pandemic more than anything is people realizing how much of their life they'd given to other people because they were afraid to do anything other than what they were taught or told that they needed to do.
Well, I think that's where, that is what made my life very interesting. I started a business, and I had the advertising specialty. You know what that is? It's the imprinted items, such as caps, jackets, buttons, balloons, and it's promotional items. And I was in that business for 20 years, and I had some of the biggest clients, you know, Coors Beer out of Golden, that was a client of mine, Hershey, Pennsylvania, McDonald's, Oak Brook, Illinois, 7-Up at the time that I was in business was located in Clayton, outside of St. Louis. So you can see I had, I serviced colleges and universities, and it was my business. And I sit at a kitchen table one night, somebody sent me a book, and I said, I want to do this business. It was that simple to me. I wanted to do it. And once you want to do something, and you put the right amount of, if you have the right amount of knowledge and the right amount of preparation, do it. And even if you don't, try it. I mean, my mother used to say, nothing beats a try but a failure. So you know, I was taught not to look at, you know, it like that average person. I leap before I look, and sometimes it had not worked out the way I would like for it to work out. But I learned now to be more careful when I look. That's all it taught me, you know. When I was younger, I would do things very rapidly, and just, you know, if I decided to do it, I would do it. But I take more time, analyze things a little bit more, and I get more into the meat of what I'm doing. But that came from failure, because I've had business that failed before one succeeded. So that's the way it works. I mean, I got into background acting. Believe it or not, I was walking down the street here in Chicago. I live downtown. And a gentleman came up to me and he says, we need some people. Would you be interested in being in a movie? You look like somebody we could use as an extra. And, you know, I'm saying, you know, to me, this guy is some kind of crackpot. What is this? I mean, you coming to me with this? Yeah, sure. You're going to put me in the movie. He handed me a flower, a paper, and it looked legit, you know. So he says, come over here. And it was up on the north side. I said, what the heck? Let me try it. I had some time on my hand the next day. I wasn't really busy. So I went up north, and when I got there, it looked like, you know, one of these talent shows where you got 1 million people trying to get on stage. And I said, yeah, I got a real chance of being some extra in some movie. Well, to make a long story short, I ended up a week or two later, the phone rang, and they said, Sylvester Boyd, you fill out some paperwork, and you were interested in doing some extra work with us. And it was a casting director. And I said, yeah. And he said, you're going to be cast in, we cast you as the security guard in the movie The Dilemma with some of the biggest stars at that time. One of the biggest stars in that was, you know, Queen Latifah and Vince Vaughn and and Jennifer Connelly. And so my career in being a background actor, which recently I received an award, the local award here for background acting, but that started with me having the faith to take that piece of paper that came into my space and saying, let's try it. Suppose I had not taken that leap at that point. Well, a lot of things I've been on stage in movies with some of the biggest stars in Hollywood, Academy Awards. I look at the Academy Award and I say, oh, just with that person 10 minutes ago.
Right? Like, how many things do we miss in life because we're not even willing to see the potential opportunity or take a chance?
The chance, and it would, to me, it was just like going up north. If so, would I have to lose? Had not done it, I would have just been where I was. And so I said, okay, let's do it. Let's see it. Yeah, you know, get me a hamburger or something. If it don't work out, it's no big deal. But I have been in over 150. My last count was about 150 TV programs and motion pictures. So
wow, that is
one piece of paper.
What's your favorite thing that you've done in all these things you've done in life? What do you think brings you the most joy?
You know, there's not one thing, because every one of them is, again, that we go back to that pot of soup. Every one of them has a special place. It's like you asking me, what's your favorite place in the world that you travel to? And Venezuela is a lot different than Cuba, and San Juan, Puerto Rico is a lot different than Mexico. Denmark is a lot different than the United States. So there's no, each one of them add their own flavor, their own uniqueness, their own specialness. So that's the way life is. I mean, and that's what we got to learn, that differences actually add a flavor to the pot, that taken or omitted, that flavor then does not exist, and it's a totally different pie.
Even the not, quote, not great things, right? Even those things add some level of value. They add, you know, that little kick that you needed to get to the next thing or whatever. I like that a lot. What's something you want to create in your life now? What would you like to create? What would you like to experience?
Well, I'd like to experience my book series coming to the motion picture screen right now, which I'm deeply involved in right at the present moment. That's something I would like to see, because that then would give me the sense of taking my aunt's story and seeing it on the screen and seeing her life come to the big movie screen, and also seeing the life that I've lived, because part of what's in those books are part of me. I'd like to see, in my lifetime, to see us to be able to see others as we want to be seen. And we don't do that, which comes out to a simple golden rule, do unto others or see others as you want to be seen. So I think a lot of the things that I would like to see, I'm getting well up there in age right now. So some of the things I'd like to see in the future is just people just getting along a little better. We all divided. We divide on everything. And matter of fact, I'm thinking about writing a book along political lines next time, because the divide's all the same. Being a historian, I can go back and tell you everything that happened as far as why people got into the difficulties we got into. They're always the same. You know, it's money, it's power, It's the same element. It's racism, it's sexism, it's ageism, the isms of the world. They stay the same. They don't change. It's just a matter of the cast of characters change. The people that play on the stage change. But the same thing that gets one group of people into trouble two or three years later or a generation later gets the same thing happening all over again. So if we could learn from history, we would be a much better world, a much better planet. And because here again, I'm an American, but I've seen enough of the world to know that the world, everything in this world is connected to the next thing. There's nothing that's not connected. You take the honeybees out and we got a problem with pollination of plants, just one little bee. And that one little segment insect affects our food chain. So there's nothing that's not connected, but we seem to think everything is not connected. You know, the food that you eat on your table is not connected to the farmer, and the farmer is not connected to the soil, and the soil is not connected to the oxygen. So everything is connected. I've learned that interconnectivity is one of my favorite. Matter of fact, I did a paper on that some years ago, and how we're connected.
I think you're spot on, and it's hard sometimes to realize the ways in which we influence so many things and people around us with our energy, and also the ways others also affect us, and how do we choose to move forward when we feel negatively affected by something? How do we either continue on perpetuating that negativity or take a different approach and see it as an experience or something we chalk up to the soup, right? The spices of soup in the soup. And I think that there's just a lot that we have to learn as a species about our potential. And I also think there's a lot that we need to unlearn. I think that we've really created too much stimulation. And I think that in a lot of ways, kind of getting back to the simplicity of the way that humans used to be is just a lot better and would serve us a lot more. Where can people get your book? How can they find out about you and share any closing thoughts you might have for the audience?
Yeah, well, they can get my book at boydbooks.net. boydbooks.net. So if you go to that website, you'll get my background, how you can purchase the book on the site. You can see some of my radio and TV interviews. I've done radio and TV interviews across the world. So it's pretty easy to get the book if you go to that site. some of my closing thoughts are basically, hopefully that I've said something this morning that inspires somebody to take the gambles in life, to enjoy it. Life is to be enjoyed, not to just be survived. I am a living example of what you can do with your life if you take risks. I mean, risk is part of the world, and don't always think that if you take a risk, you're always going to fail, because believe it or not, sometimes you take a risk and you succeed beyond your wildest dream. But difficulties are part of life. Learn from them, and don't be afraid to go somewhere you haven't been before. Because where you haven't been before may be better or beyond your wildest dream. So always dream, always plan to help other people. That's another thing. Always try to help your fellow man. Don't down your fellow man. If you can give your fellow man a hand, be willing to do that at all times. And leave the world, as my grandmother used to say, leave the world a better place than you found it. Try to, when you leave, what do you leave? I haven't seen anybody take gold to the cemetery or a Brinks truck that follows a hearse, but I have seen people leave, like Danny Thomas, for example, in St. Jude, a wonderful legacy to live, where he's been gone some time, but the world is a better place because he lived. That's just one example. There's millions of examples of people making the world a better place, and they may be long gone, but we still reap the benefits of them being here.
I love that so much. I love everything you said. And I love the idea. I recently had a friend of mine say that their mission was to leave every relationship better than they entered it, as themselves and for the other person. And I loved that thought. Like, if I'm leaving any relationship that I've come into where that person has had a good experience or is a little better off for having known me or having spent time with me, that seems like a beautiful thing. I just really appreciate and value everything that you said. And I do believe that in giving, there is receiving, and we sometimes forget that. So I think that's beautiful. Well, folks, if you want to learn more about his incredible life journey, Mr. Boyd, visit his website. Links always in the show notes. And thank you so much, Sylvester, for coming on today and sharing some of your perspective on these things about happiness that are maybe a different way to look at things than we have in the past.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.